Welcome to the Principal Podcast today. Today, I am thrilled to have Michelle DiFilippo with us on the show. She has more than 50 years of experience in book publishing, and her company, 1106 Design, I hope I said that correctly, makes it easy for authors to release a top quality book, keep control of it, which is super important, and earn more money every time they sell a copy. And she's on a mission to help people do this. So thank you, Michelle, for coming to the, for being on the show today.
Thank you, Xane. I appreciate being here.
So tell us, how did you get involved with book publishing in the first place?
Oh, well, I wish I could tell you I had a plan, but it was an accident. I was looking for a job. I grew up in New York, and I was going out on job interviews after getting out of school and fully expected actually to go into the advertising end of the graphic design business. And but then I got an interview at Crown Publishers in New York, and they offered me a job. So I said yes. And that's how I got into the publishing track. I loved it from the very beginning.
That's wonderful. And now you help authors actually self-publish rather than go the publishing track that you became involved with earlier. Is that right?
Yeah, well, around 2000, the self-publishing became possible for everyone. Before then, authors had to go through a publisher in order to get distribution to bookstores or to anywhere else. Amazon changed all that. Suddenly, anyone could upload a book to Amazon and make it available to everyone in the public without going through a publisher, without going through a bookstore, although Amazon is a bookstore. So it was a huge opportunity for authors. And the reason I'm doing these podcasts is because at the beginning, it was understood what self-publishing meant. And now that has become a little bit confused. A lot confused in the last 20 years. And I'm here to remind people of the original model of self-publishing and why it's beneficial to them.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. How did you make the switch from working for a traditional publisher to helping independent authors publish, self-publish?
Well, that's kind of funny too, because in 1976, my husband and I decided to move from New York to Phoenix, Arizona, where my grandparents had retired. And we loved it. And I just assumed, being 23 years old, that I'd be able to find a job as easily in Phoenix as I could in New York. And that didn't turn out to be true. I could only make minimum wage in Phoenix because graphic design wasn't viewed in the same way out west as it was in New York City. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to work for minimum wage for too long. So I wound up opening a typesetting business. And that was my really first experience actually working for publishers as an outsider. And back then there were no computers. So typesetting had to be done separately and then literally pasted up with razor blades and rubber cement into a book before Wow. Before it could be printed. It sounds ridiculous now, but that was the extent of the technology at the time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you had mentioned earlier about having people ask the right questions. What publishing model is the most advantageous to authors who are wanting to get a book out there and self-publish?
Well, in terms of expense, traditional publishing is still the best for authors because the publisher picks up all the expenses and has the team in place to produce the book. Well, and that's great for the author. They don't have to pay anything, but the publisher, in order to recoup its investment, takes most of the money from sales whenever a book is sold. That used to be the only option. When self-publishing came on the scene, it became possible for the author to be the publisher and hire the experts to produce the book and keep all of the profits from book sales, much in the way that you're doing it, by taking control of and keeping control of their print-on-demand accounts. And that's where the confusion has crept in over the years. Now we're back to having publishers again, self-publishing companies, hybrid publishers, and whatever else they might call themselves. But what these middleman companies are doing is charging the author to produce the book and taking their revenue from sales when a book is sold. So that's the part that is not really working out too well for authors in today's publishing landscape. So like I said before, I just want to remind people of the original model of self-publishing. It is still possible to be the publisher and keep control of everything and still put out a good book.
See, and that's awesome. So you're trying to help people who don't want to have, who now there's this new option, but there, unfortunately, there's some, sounds like maybe less than completely helpful companies that have come up and tried to take both portions. We're going to charge you for it, and we're going to take some of the revenue. And that's just not helpful to authors. Like, why not do it yourself and let it happen with maybe some assistance, like an expert like you, correct?
Yeah, and I think that's where the confusion comes in. I think part of it is authors want to have a publisher. I don't know if it's a sense of approval or what they may feel emotionally about that. But I think the other part of it is that they're overwhelmed. You know, they don't want to manage designers, editors, proofreaders, ebook formatters, and all the rest. And so they think, I'm just going to hire a publisher and they'll take care of all that legwork and all that management work to get the book out. And then, you know, they sign up for paying for those services, but then also losing revenue on the back end when the book is sold. And I don't think there's enough transparency in the marketplace either. Publishers don't necessarily explain to authors what they're doing. They're just saying, we'll pay you a royalty. Now, I spoke to an author last week who was working with a publishing company, and he was being paid $2 or $3 royalty for his book. And they didn't explain to him how they arrived at that royalty figure. They just told him very vaguely, well, Amazon takes most of the money. He should have been making $8 on every book he sold based on their
So
book.
more than double, two or three times more, it sounds like, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And he said he never got any reports and he just had to trust that whatever money they sent him was the amount that he was due. So there's a lot of that going on in the marketplace too. And that's why I'm here to educate and advocate for people to keep control of their publishing enterprise. And we can help with that because I do have an author services team assembled. You could call us publishing project managers, where we do take over all of that legwork that a publisher would ordinarily do for you, but we don't take your revenue on the back end when the book is sold.
So in other words, if people hire you, they get to keep all of the revenue on the back end, all the royalties that they possibly can. They just
Yes.
hire you to help consult and help get some of the legwork that maybe they don't want to have do themselves. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I've got the team assembled, and we do charge for our services. We have to do that. But
Sure.
at the end of the process, we upload the files to the author's print-on-demand accounts. So they get the reports, they get the revenue directly to their bank account, and they get all of the royalties that they are due because there's no middleman taking any of it in the middle. Yeah.
I love that. Now I got to just talk, you know, a lot of our audience may be dads or moms, parents, people who are looking to, you know, increase their influence as a parent. You know, and I want to just mention this, you know, more than a decade ago, I decided to write a book and I did decide to self-publish it. And that book, you know, luckily it was able to get on Forbes and it got me a little TV interview later. And it allowed me, because of the book and some of the things that happened afterwards, that allowed me to do some speaking in various parts of the United States, even recently internationally. And that book, you know, to be truthful, I didn't make a ton of money on that book at all. But it allowed me to have I guess you could call it authority to go out and do some of the things that I was passionate about. And so if writing a book is something that you've wanted to do, not promising that you'll make a ton of money doing it, but what we are saying is that it could help you not only get your message out that you feel passionate about getting out, but maybe create an opportunity to have a little bit more time with your family doing the things you want to do. And that's one of the reasons, Michelle, I'm so grateful you're on the show showing us what you can do here. Maybe you could tell us what are the essential services that authors need to publish a book? What's needed for these people? You know, a lot of people only write, if they write a book, sometimes there's only one they write, and so it's not something they're familiar with. Help us understand, for our viewers, what's essential for an author to publish.
Sure. First, I want to say that you're absolutely right in terms of a book being able to establish you as an authority in your field or to promote your business or speaking engagements or whatever it is you want to do. And I will also be the first to tell you that it's difficult to make any money on a book strictly on retail sales because the retailers take a big cut of the revenue and then you have to pay for the printing. And so I wouldn't go into publishing a book hoping to become an Amazon bestseller, although there are some some companies that promise that, which is another conversation altogether. But yes, there are some steps that.
Thanks for being upfront about that, by the way. It's so good to have someone who's just going to be transparent and upfront. Not to interrupt you, but thank you, Michelle.
No, that's what we are. It bothers me no end about the things that are happening in the industry today, and that's why I'm here. As far as the steps that are needed to produce a book, generally it breaks down to 6 steps. We have editing, cover design, interior formatting, proofreading, and ebook formatting. And we have the staff that will step you through all of those tasks in an orderly manner and manage the project for you so that you don't have to worry about going out on the internet, finding somebody who may or may not be qualified, and then making sure they do the job on time and all of that. So we can manage that for you. And that's what we specialize in. I've been doing that since I opened my typesetting business in 1980.
And what I understand also, Michelle, is that you're able to kind of break it up into pieces. So for example, if somebody feels comfortable doing their own cover design, but maybe needs a little help with the ebook formatting or something like that, you can break it into different portions and just take care of the portion that they'd like. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're happy to work a la carte. We often get manuscripts that have already been edited. If the author has a relationship with an editor they like, that's fine. We'll pick up with the next steps. In terms of cover design, I've seen a little problem in that regard. Sometimes authors will go out to Fiverr and hire a cover designer and experience trouble. Either the design is not quite what it should be, or they wind up, the designer will send them files that don't successfully upload to the printer, and then they're stuck. So there's a lot more to cover design than people might think at first glance.
Right. Interesting. So that's interesting to know as well. So let me ask you this. How would you find a cover designer that's worthwhile? I mean, how do you find a qualified cover designer?
Well, I can give you some tips about that. The first thing you should do before you even go looking for a cover designer is research bestsellers yourself on Amazon in your genre so that you have some idea of what the major publishers are doing, what the covers are looking like today, contemporary, because you want your cover to look contemporary. Then when you go out to look for designers and you're reviewing their portfolios, I would open up 2 windows on my browser. In one window, put up the major publisher websites so that you can see what their covers look like, and then put up the designer's portfolio side by side so that you can make sure the designer is working at that level. If you just look at a designer's website, you might kind of get sidetracked a little bit and say, oh, I like those covers, but that's not enough. Those covers have to look as good as the bestsellers because Amazon will put up those bestsellers next to your title when people find your book. And if your book looks self-published, if it looks a little bit off, then buyers will say, oh, that looks risky to me. That looks like a self-published book. I'm going to go with the well-known authors instead. So right. you have to be at that level. And that's crucial because people look at a cover for about 3 to 7 seconds before they decide whether or not to learn more or browse away. And it's truly terrifying.
So it sounds like, I mean, there's the old adage, don't judge a book by its cover. But in reality, to do sales, how important is the cover when you're trying to sell a book?
It's critical. It's what makes people stop, right? And mm-hmm. So I say this to authors all the time. The cover is not about what you like. It's about what your buyers expect to see and what you're telling them. So the cover text has to be correct. We have to tell them in 2 or 3 seconds what your book is about, what they're going to get, and get them to stop and click and learn more. And after that, we can't control their decision. It's a subjective one. But if we can make them stop, then the cover has done their job.
Right. So it is very important, it sounds like.
It's critical.
Right. Tell us a little bit about interior page design.
Yes, that's a misunderstood field altogether. If you go online, you're going to hear advice to format your book in Word. There's so-called experts telling you how to format your book in Microsoft Word. That is not the way a publisher formats a book. And the proper term for page composition is typesetting, not formatting. And typesetting for a book is very detailed. We follow dozens and dozens of rules to make sure that book page looks like a book and not like a Word file. All kinds of rules like the paragraph can't end on a short word less than 5 characters. You can't have the first line of a paragraph at the bottom of a page. You can't have the last line of a paragraph at the top of the page. You can't have too many hyphens. You can't have tight and loose lines. There's lots of things that book typesetters adjust. And the reason we do it is not because we're crazy. Is because we don't want to distract the reader. We want the reader to comprehend your message and not be distracted by poor spacing or any other issue that might make them lose their concentration even for a split second.
Right. Wow. So it's a real science even to put it in there. And people might think, well, I could just do that in Word, but no, it's something to get it done really, really well. Love that.
Yeah. And if you were to try it yourself and take your sample to a bookstore and hold your Word page next to a hardcover book from a major publisher that has been properly typeset, you will immediately see the difference.
Let's talk a little bit more about editing. What do authors need to know about editing, Michelle?
Everybody needs an editor. I think most authors know that. Occasionally I'll run into someone who says, no, my writing is fine. I don't need an editor. But what an editor will do is find the mistakes that you're not seeing in your own writing. And we all make mistakes in our own writing because we know what we mean to say. So we understand it perfectly when we read it. But somebody accessing the text for the first time may not quite get what you're saying, and that's the job of an editor, as well as fixing, you know, punctuation errors and syntax and all of that. A good editor won't change your voice or your style, but they will smooth out the text and find the bumps that you can't find yourself.
And tell us a little bit about the editors that you have on staff, or how that works.
I have 4 editors. Some of them specialize in fiction. One of them is a philosophy major. He has an advanced degree in philosophy, so he's great for religious subjects, philosophy subjects, that kind of thing. I have others who specialize in nonfiction business. So whatever your book is, I can assign it to the editor who's most experienced and most capable in that area.
So let me ask you another question. What does it cost to produce a book to traditional publisher standards?
Generally speaking, for a 200-page book, about $9,000, soup to nuts, editing, cover design, interior design and layout, proofreading, ebook formatting, and then all of the uploading to the platforms where you want to sell your book.
Okay, wow. So you've told us this a little bit all the way through, but why should they choose you? I mean, I love the fact that you can help them with whatever they want to have help with, and then they keep all the royalties on the back end. So you're not taking part of the royalties. They get to keep it as much royalties as they possibly can while still getting some really good professional advice. But maybe you could reiterate, why should people choose 1106 Design?
Well, we're a small company. I think that's important because we can provide, and we love to provide, personal customer service. If you choose one of these big book factories, you're going to get hoisted onto an assembly line, maybe have call center customer service, maybe even AI customer service these days. And that's just not the same experience. If you call us or you write to us, you're going to get a response from a project manager who is dedicated to your book, who knows about your book and gets to know you a little bit along the way. And we will read your questions, we will answer your questions, and we will walk you through every step of the process. It's a personal experience. It's a good experience for us too, because at the end of the workday, we want to feel like we've accomplished something as well.
I love that. Well, I appreciate Michelle answering this. You know, as you were speaking here, there was one thought that came to mind, and I just want to share, you know, as a father who has several children and who did write a book, one of the things that I attribute being able to spend more time with my kids truly is having written this book. Now, of course, there was more work. There was a lot of work that went into other things. But, you know, just last year, my family and I were able to take a 6-week vacation across the country. We were able to see about half the United States almost just driving. And one of the things that helped me so much was being able to publish a book and get it out on the market, because that allowed me to, even though I didn't make a ton of money on the book, to be frank, like I said, but it allowed me to establish a little bit of credibility and allowed me to have a business where I could spend more time with my children. Now, of course, there's a lot of factors that go into that, but I guess for any fathers out there or parents out there who have this desire to publish a book, I appreciate you, Michelle, being on the show to give a little bit of guidance. How can interested authors get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to my website, 1106design.com. And if they do that and give me their email address, I will send them a free copy of my book, Publish Like the Pros. And it walks through all of the steps and reviews the financial discussion we just had so that they'll have something tangible to look at. And we would love to help anybody. You don't have to be finished with your manuscript yet to talk to us. We're happy to educate you along the way and help you whenever you're ready to begin.
And Michelle, thank you so much. Really appreciate you being on the show. We're going to put that link to your website in the show notes. So look for that. If you forget what it is, tell us the site one more time.
1106design.com.
1106design.com. Okay. Michelle, thank you so much for being on the show today, and look for Michelle in the Michelle's site in the notes there. There's one last thing you want to tell our audience today. Is there anything else that you would say that would be important for them to know?
Well, I would say that if you think you have a book inside you, you should write it, because and if you have the proper help along the way, it doesn't have to be a nightmare the way you see online in social media posts. It can be a wonderful, beautiful experience. And like Exane said, it can help you build authority and perhaps even become a business owner in your own right in a way that you never anticipated. So share what you know, share what you love, share your experiences. There are people waiting for it.
Oh, I love that. If you have a book inside you, write it. Thank you, Michelle. That was great advice. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
For all of our listeners, thank you for listening today.